This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You're listening to Strictly Anonymous on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Conversations with online strangers. We place ads online.
Craigslist is definitely the gift that keeps on giving.
Real people respond.
You go to Singapore or Thailand. You can't not do it. The temptation is just too much.
Real problems.
Does your friend know that you're banging her?
No, he has no idea.
And anything goes.
Motto of the show, let your Greek flag fly.
Probably the only good advice I'll ever give you is to rehide your whips and chain.
Here is your host, Kathy.
Hey, welcome to Strictly Anonymous Podcast with Kathy. If you want to follow Strictly Anonymous Podcast on Twitter, follow the show at Strictly Anonymous, me at Cartoon Therapy. I'm on Instagram somewhere, but I don't really do social media that well. If you haven't subscribed to the show, subscribe to the show. If you could write a review. If you want to be on the show, this is a call and advice show where I give total strangers my unprofessional advice. It's also become a place where people call in to talk about their secret lives and their naughty lives, a lot of times for the first time, because while remaining strictly anonymous, I change everybody's voices. So if you want to be on the show, talk about maybe a problem, get some unprofessional advice, or you have a secret life that you want to talk about for the first time while remaining anonymous, like I already said, send me an email at strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. If you want to talk to me, but you don't want me to air the episode, right? You want to remain really, really anonymous. You could do that too. There's a fee for that. Send me an email at strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com and I'll give you the pricing and let you know the details. Today I've got a guy named Nate. Nate is into feet. He's into interesting kinds of feet. And I didn't know that. I don't know. He talks a lot about the foot fetish. In all of my 5 years of doing this show, I've literally only had one other foot fetish guy on, which is odd because I think it's like foot fetish is like pantyhose fetish, whereas it's probably much more common than we think. But for some reason, I haven't had many foot fetish guys on or girls on. And I learn a lot about what kind of feet foot fetish people are into. It's kind of weird, the stuff that they're into that you wouldn't expect. So we talk about that. We also talk about the fact that he's bi. He's been married 3 times. His current wife knows, but he really is interested at this point in his marriage to have experiences with guys with her permission. He's done it behind her back. And we talk a little bit about how he can make that happen, considering she knows mostly everything about him. We also talk about how he first discovered he was bi and all the naughty things he did when he was younger, or when he was very young. I think that kind of shit goes down a lot with people. And what else do we discuss? A lot of other things, like the foot fetish thing, the bisexual stuff. He's into pegging with his wife. We talk about that. So anyway, I'm going to be right back on with Nate.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone, Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story and your anonymous name. everything is Strictly Anonymous. Strictly Anonymous.
Hey, Nate. Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. So you emailed me with not a lot of information, which I prefer, actually, because I'm just going to get the whole story from you. And there were like a couple things that you're into or experience that you were going to talk about. One is a foot fetish, right?
Right.
You also happen to be bi, and there's also something or something about bisexuality. And then there's also something that that maybe happened or something about your stepsister that we're going to discuss, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so let's start with the foot fetish thing. I'm going to save the best for last, the stepsister one, because, you know, I have a million questions already. But like, what, you know, I've had on somebody, a foot fetish guy, but a really long time ago. I haven't talked to somebody that has a foot fetish for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So how does your foot fetish play out, and how long, like, when did you realize that you were into it?
Well, I know you said you wanted to save the best for last,
yeah.
But I believe that goes all the way back to my stepsister.
Okay, cool. So let's bring it all together. That's fine.
Okay. And feel free to, you know, stop me and ask more questions about if you want to go off on a tangent with the whole stepsister thing if you want. But
oh, I will. Don't worry about that.
So as far back as I can remember, like even into like really early childhood, I don't remember having like a foot fetish. And it wasn't until probably my teenage years when I really started to develop that, or even maybe like preteen. Mm-hmm. And so just a little backstory on myself and my stepsister. We're both the same exact age. It was just by chance that our parents got together and we went to the same school. She's just a few months older than me. And so we actually, when we were really young, we lived in the same neighborhood, and this was before our parents even got together.
Right.
So we had been used to playing with each other in the neighborhood, and we knew each other at school and all that. And then around when I was age 5 or 6, my parents got a divorce. And a year or two later is when my father and her mother got together.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we started, you know, seeing each other. Usually on the weekends is when I would spend my time with my father. And so we were in the same house with each other now, which, you know, probably wasn't even that much different when we, you know, were in the neighborhood with each other at each other's houses anyway. But so that was like real young, though. And, you know, between that time and preteen, you know, 12, 13 years old ish, is still when I don't recall having this foot fetish thing going on. And so when around the age of 12 is when everything kind of started happening. And a big thing that happened then was my dad and her mom put in an in-ground swimming pool at his house. And so that was amazing.
Everyone wants a pool. Right, exactly.
And so every weekend, you know, when the weather was nice, I had this pool. And then all summer I would spend usually at my dad's house for the most part. And we had this swimming pool. So as you know, with swimming pool comes bare feet a lot.
Mm-hmm, right. I was going to say bikinis, but no, duh, we're talking about foot fetish. So it's the feet.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, not only, you know, did I get to see, you know, a lot more bare feet just in general, but my stepsister, who, like I said, was my age, she had tons of friends who, you know, also my age, and she would have over for sleepovers or pool parties or whatever. So it was like, if I did have a little bit of a foot fetish already started, it was really getting amplified with seeing all these, you know, my sister and stepsister and her friends
barefooted
at my house all the time, you know. You know, so it was, you know, it was kind of heavenly to to see, you know, to, you know, I have this thing developing and I get to, you know, see it on a regular basis and with all our friends and all. So I recall times we would, you know, be swimming, whether it was just, you know, me and her or the friends. I would, you know, swim up to a float, you know, at the foot of a float or something, just to, you know, I say just to chat with someone, but I'm sure there, I did that on purpose, you know, grabbing onto the float, you know, where their feet are to hang on there and, you know, chit chat for a minute or so, you know, with their, you know, feet right in my face. But, all of this stuff, was kind of building on this whole foot fetish thing. And then there would come a time where I recall, so let's say it was just me and my stepsister, and we would be out swimming all day or whatever. And we, you know, get done swimming and we go inside and change clothes, and we would end up in my bedroom to watch movies. That would kind of be a normal thing on a, you know, whether I was there on a Friday night or Saturday night. It was swim all day until, you know, it got dark or whatever. And then we would end up watching movies in my room. Because I had the spare bedroom, and that was the room that had the TV and video games and stuff in it. And so that's where we ended up. And so when we would end up there, if it was late in the evening, she would normally, you know, we're still talking, we're like, you know, 12, 13 years old at this time. And we were used, we've been used to each other since we were, you know, 6 or 7 is when we started actually living in the same house with each other. So it wasn't anything for her to, you know, throw on a nightshirt. And that's what she would be wearing for the rest of the night is, you know, her nightshirt and panties or underwear, whatever. And so that's what she would be wearing. And I would usually just, you know, change into a pair of dry shorts or something. And then we would get on the, we didn't have a couch or anything in the spare bedroom. So we would always end up on the bed. And so, and to walk. And eventually, I don't recall, you know, if this started like right after we got the pool, but you know, it was at some point when we were still in that, you know, 12 to 13 years old time frame, she started asking for foot rubs during this time that we were, you know, spending in there watching movies after a day of swimming.
Oh wow.
And I know, so I'm looking back now at some of this, I'm like, what was she doing? Because, you know, usually girls mature a lot faster than boys when it comes to a lot of things.
Right.
Or most things. So I look back now and I'm like, you know, was this just innocent? You know, oh, rub my feet. Or was, I don't know, it just makes me wonder if there were some signs that I might not have been picking up on that, you know, was she trying to
turn
you
on? Right. Did she sort of pick up on your foot fetish? And then, you know, that was like, or, you know, her into you to let you know, like she was kind of interested too, or something was going on. And it could even be like subconscious and very subtle, right? You never know.
Right. I think all of us foot fetish folks think that no one ever catches on to the fact that we're staring at feet all the time, but I'm pretty sure that in some situations, or maybe more so, you know, people are catching on, and maybe she did catch on and she was like, well, he's always, you know, tickling my feet on the float in the pool or doing this or whatever. And so maybe she was trying to push the envelope a little bit to see what was going on. So I don't think, neither one of us knew what a foot fetish was at that time. You know, we were way too old or way too young to even think about, you know, what that meant. But, you know, maybe she was.
Yeah.
So she would ask for these foot rubs, which I obviously would say yes to. And in exchange for the foot rubs, she would usually give me a back rub. So we've got this whole little massaging each other thing, you know, going on in, you know, the bedroom with the door closed, because we're in there watching a movie or whatever. And our parents, you know, they don't want to hear us in there watching loud action movies like the Goonies or whatever we were watching at the time. So we've got this whole little, and then what she's wearing too, you know, I think back to, you know, okay, she, you know, she wants this foot rub, and the way that this would usually go down is she would lay on her stomach and she would want me to get behind her, and basically I would have, you know, my legs open kind of like in a V shape or whatever.
She's sitting in the middle.
And she's sitting in the middle, and she would have, you know, she would have her feet, usually they would be kind of at like chest or belly level to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall ever having her feet like in my crotch area or her ever rubbing my crotch, you know, with her feet or anything. I just remember foot rubs.
Right.
And so, you know, here I am, you know, she's completely, you know, looking at the TV, not looking back at me. And I've got, you know, I have the beginning of this foot fetish going on in my life. And here's my stepsister who, you know, by the way, I had a crush on before our parents. I know.
Oh, you did.
Like,
even when you were six, you remember.
This was like kindergarten, you know. Mm-hmm. When we see each other now, we'll bring it up and laugh about it and, you know, how funny and ridiculous it was that, you know, even like when our parents got together, you know, I still kind of liked her. And I remember, you know, going on this trip one time, and I was like, you know, in the back seat, like trying to give her little kisses on the cheek or whatever, and she was like, "Get off me," you know. And so, yeah, there was some of that there, you know. And I'll say that there's none of that now. Mm-hmm. There was, you know, never anything sexual that went on other than
the foot massages
in our brains.
And stuff. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but back to the foot rub, you know, so I'm sitting here, I have her, you know, feet pretty much, you know, right at my, you know, chest level, you know, with her soles up, and I start the foot rub. And, you know, I do recall, you know, how sexy, you know, especially like after a long day of swimming, how wrinkled the feet get. You know, mm-hmm. that's kind of a thing that a lot of foot fetish folks like, is like the
they
wrinkled
like
soles. And yeah, so
interesting.
I want to think that that's where, you know, if I see, you know, some feet on TV or whatever, and they're like super wrinkled from being in water or something, then I'm like, ooh, that's hot, or, you know.
And that's a common thing with people that have foot fetishes?
Definitely not all of them. I mean, we could, you know, put 100 of us in a room and come up with 100 totally different, you know, styles of, you know, what we like and dislike. But yeah, that's, you know, if you went on, you know, your porn site of choice and, you know, search for wrinkled soles, you know, you'll probably get thousands, tens of thousands of videos of, you know, just, you know, girls or guys, whichever you're into, wrinkling their soles for you, you know, either scrunching their feet to make their soles wrinkled, or they're already wrinkled from whatever they were doing, usually, you know, swimming or, you know, something. So.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never heard that. I mean, like I said, I think I had on like one foot fetish guy a really long time ago. So it's like, I don't know much about this foot fetish. The pantyhose fetish I know a lot about, and I'll ask you whether this bleeds into that. But so you like the wrinkly feet. I mean, maybe it's because like the feet was like most of the feet around you at that time of like, you know, because you had a pool, were wrinkled, right?
Right. So even, you know, anyone that's coming over to our house, we're usually doing some, you know, our entertainment for friends or family or whatever was always, you know, pool stuff.
Yeah, totally.
you know, especially in the summertime or when it was still warm out. So, so yeah, I would totally, you know, say that that's, you know, where I got that,
right,
you know, part of the foot fetish that I like. And then, you know, having them just inches away from your face, you get to kind of explore them a little bit, especially when you've been asked to rub them. So,
right. So there you are. She's sitting between your legs with her wrinkly feet in your face. Right.
And I'm like, I'm in heaven, but I always in, you know, I'll bring up briefly that I was, you know, we were super Christian at the time, raised in that. So even though,
good news, Strictly Anonymous podcast is looking for people to call into the show. So if you lead an interesting, naughty secret life that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, if you're out and proud, that's cool too. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. That's strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. If you have a short confession that you want to get off your back, call my confessions hotline, 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. I change all the voices on the confessions too, so you remain anonymous. The number, the website, and the email address will all be in the description.
I was, you know, starting to get those hormones of, you know, puberty and horniness and all that stuff. I'm 100% certain that I was like, even if I wanted to and thought that she wanted to, I probably would have been like, there's no way we're going to do this. It's wrong. You know, even though we're step, I would have been so scared, you know, from my parents and God. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily in that order, but there's no way that I don't think anything would have happened, especially knowing that they were in the next room. But,
right, of course.
So, and there would also, you know, this was usually after pool time, when I, you know, would have, you know, her wrinkly feet in my face or whatever. But sometimes this would just happen, just organically, you know, it's like, oh, you want to go watch a movie? So we would, you know, just go watch a movie. And usually that was kind of like pajama time.
Right.
Or, you know, change into your shorts and nightshirt and stuff like that. So when she's in this position, you know, if you're standing up wearing a nightshirt or, you know, thinking of her in particular, it would usually come down to, you know, maybe mid thigh.
Right.
But when she was, you know, laying down on the bed in this position watching TV, it was pretty common for the shirt to not be covering anything, really. But
did,
you know,
she have panties on underneath? Like, what were you seeing? Right. Okay. But her panties.
Yeah, she had panties on, and but it was, you know, we had been brother, sister, stepbrother, stepsister type thing since we were like six or seven. So I don't even, you know, maybe she did know. Like I said, she's obviously letting me do all this stuff to her feet and stuff, but I don't know if she cared that, you know, oh, my panty clad butt is showing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were just out in the pool and she's wearing bikinis and stuff, so she's probably like, you know, this is my stepbrother and my underwear is not really much different from my bikini, so she probably didn't care much about that. Or maybe she did.
She might have not been thinking about it because she was so comfortable with you. I think women are wired a little bit differently than guys, right? Like, you know, you're wired to just be fucking horny from the minute you could be horny.
Exactly.
And I think girls aren't wired so much so. I mean, listen, they're horny too, and you just don't know, right? But, you know, I think guys wish that women were always coming from that place, right? Because in our fantasy, in your fantasy, you want it to be that she was really like doing all that for you because she wanted to. But who knows? We don't know, right? She's not on the phone
exactly.
Call. Yeah, so go on.
Right. So again, I have her like her feet in my face, and then I've got, you know, her butt in view. You know, it's covered, but I'm pretty sure I popped some boners, but I was in a pretty good position, you know, to not be discovered. You know, she had her, you know, face turned, you know, looking at the TV and stuff. But yeah, there's no way that, you know, with where my foot fetish was getting at the time or how it was developing, and then combined with that, that, you know, that wasn't happening.
Yeah.
But like I said, never did I, you know, push her feet down, you know, towards my crotch area or anything like that. Nor do I recall her doing it. But on the nights where it was kind of like a organic situation, not in the pool, I don't know if this started before these type situations happen, but you know, if we had been in shoes and stuff all day and stuff, then I would always sneak like a little sniff or two, and I would try smelling her feet.
Oh, interesting. You like that too. That's a part of it.
And that's really big for me now.
The smelling of the feet. Now, let me ask you this, though. What do you want them to smell? Like, you don't want them to smell bad, right? You just want them to have an odor, kind of? Like, what is it? Well, what is the smell that you like?
I guess I do want them to smell bad, but not
really bad.
Bad to the point to where it's just disgusting. But like, you know, feet that are just fresh out of like sneakers and socks.
Yeah.
Or no socks. I don't. And I've tried Googling and looking up some of the stuff like why, you know, what is it about the smell of feet that, you know, these foot fetish folks like myself like, and I haven't been able to, you know, find any, you know, answers that were really convincing.
But don't you think maybe it's because, you know, early on when this fetish was forming, right? Like you said, you like to get up really close to those feet and you would have conversations, like, you know, it became like that maybe there was an odor attached to it that maybe you weren't even registering it, right? But it was sort of being registered in your subconscious. So that,
yeah,
was,
that totally could be the case where some of those situations, maybe her
there was
feet
a smell.
Did stink a little bit. And I was like,
But, and you got horny for that. And it may, not necessarily the smell, but because the smell was there at the same time, right? That got, you know, wired into you. So it makes sense. It makes total sense.
That totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now I, you know, will probably disappoint, you know, foot fetish folks, other foot fetish folks that are listening, but that's probably the extent of, you know, what I tried doing with their feet. I don't recall in those situations ever trying to, you know, lick her feet or do anything like that in a playful way. She would every now and then, you know, like when it was time for me to get my back rubbed, she would flip over and maybe like push my face away with her foot, like, you know, your turn, or push me away with her chest or something. So, you know, there were definitely, you know, a handful of times that, you know, I probably did have, you know, her foot on my face and stuff. So yeah, all of this is just, you know, building and building for this foot fetish thing that I have. And then, you know, combined with, you know, now she's going to have a friend over, you know, for a sleepover for the night. So now it's all about her and her friend. And, you know, it was, you know, where we were from, you know, you didn't hang around the house in socks. It was, you know, I don't know if I mentioned an email, but I'm from one of the southern states. We'll just say that. And that's going to, you know, the cliche that me and my stepsister are doing stuff in a southern state. Everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, you know, duh, right.
She was my, or, you know, and still is my stepsister. But, yeah, those situations, I never really got into, you know, like, you know, having her feet in my mouth or toes in my mouth or anything. But to switch into another area, if you're ready for this,
I love callers like you that just tell their story. It makes my job fairly easy. I just sit back and listen. So go on.
Well, I tried to write a lot of this down to keep it in chronological order,
that's
but
perfect.
Just talking about it, I think we will have to jump around a little bit. But
yeah, for sure. When I have questions, listen, if you read some of my reviews, people always complain that I interrupt. But I'm a curious person. That's why I do my show. I like talking to people. And if a question comes up in my brain, I'm going to ask it. But right now, you're very, like, there's some people, it's not often, but every now and then I get somebody like you on the call that's like, it's very good at telling the story, and I just let them do their thing. So you're doing a great job explaining everything. I don't have any questions yet, but I'll ask you when they come up. So go on.
All right. So at this point, I should bring up a friend of mine who also lived in the neighborhood, same age.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to remember exactly where we were. Quick question I did have about your stepsister. Now, during those times, because you got older as those times went on, like, did you jerk off to those scenarios, like, in private? Like, or did you just get, like, kind of hard in those situations and leave it at that?
I spent a lot of time in the shower at my dad's house doing exactly that.
Okay, about your stepsister or and just feet
yes,
in general?
Yes.
Okay, cool. But
so
you,
it definitely was a turn on.
Right.
And like I said, I was, you know, when it was time for me to get my back rub, I would have to, you know, quickly get down on my back. And let me talk about that before we go into the friend thing.
Yeah.
About my back rubs, because
yeah.
those turned into pretty sexy situations as well. Looking back, I might not have thought so at the time, but so I would get down, you know, on my stomach, face down, watching TV, and she would usually hop on top of me, like,
mm-hmm.
so she would be like usually like straddling my butt or straddling my low back, depending on what part of my back she's working on. Now again, you know, she's, you know, just wearing like her little nightshirt and panties, so when she does this, it's pretty much you know, her legs are rubbing up against mine.
Oh my god.
And
for,
you know,
a horny teenager, it's just too much.
I know. And I'm sitting there like, she's only wearing underwear, and
yeah.
I'm like, how quickly could this turn into, you know, some craziness? You
yeah
know?
If you weren't,
you know,
so Christian, it probably would have.
Now I know.
Yeah.
I look back now and I was like, oh my gosh, some missed opportunities there. But
whatever.
So she would be, you know, on straddling me. And then, you know, she would, you know, work my back for a little bit. And she would take her. So if you can imagine, so her legs are on my sides, but she would then take her feet and raise them up. And like kind of hook her feet around my legs.
Oh my god.
Does that
god.
Make sense?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now, like on my upper thigh area, but you know, on the back side of my legs, you know, I've got her, you know, feet moving around, and you know, she's half naked on me and rubbing my back. So yeah, lots of boner action going on now, of course. I probably don't even remember the movies we were watching, but
But you're face down, so she can't see your boner, right?
Right,
mm-hmm.
right. So I can, you know, have the best boner I want at this point and not even worry about it. So, but at some point, and this would happen almost every single time, and so if we could look at all the other stuff and say, yeah, maybe she was just doing all that stuff and had no intention of being sexy or whatever, but at this always would happen during the back rub, she would like scoot down so that she was more like straddling the my hamstring area, so my upper thigh, back of my legs.
Yeah.
And then she would laugh the whole time she was doing it. She would pull my shorts and underwear down, like exposing my butt. And
oh my god, how are you? You almost missed all of this, by the way. You were jumping ahead. Thank god I asked a question.
I want to know. Thank you.
Yeah, so all you fuckers that tell me I interrupt too much, go fuck yourself. This is why I do it.
Exactly.
Because
we
would have
totally
missed this.
About
I mean,
that.
This is like, this is the key to this is the answer to, was she doing it to be just a regular stepsister, or was she like kind of horny herself? Duh.
Yeah, and when I add that and to everything else, I you know, and this could just be my dude brain.
Yeah.
But I'm like, she totally was wanting to maybe experiment. Like,
oh, she was getting a little horny too. Come on. She's a young girl. These kind of things happen when you're young. It happens a lot, you know, like that's what the whole doctor game is about, you know, and you guys weren't brother and sister. Right. So it wasn't like taboo. I mean, yeah, you were step kids, but I bet you that happens a lot, you know? So wait, so she would pull your pants down and would she massage your ass? Like, what did she do?
Oh no, it was something that would happen really quick. Like, she would like pull them down, and then I couldn't roll over because I probably had a, you know, pitch in a big old tent, but, but I would like reach back and like try to pull them up, and then she would hold them down for like just a few seconds. And then she would finally let go and I'd pull my pants up. And then that was usually at the end of the back rub that she would, when it was time for her to be done, she would, you know, de-pants me or, you know, halfway. It was just usually exposing my butt. I don't recall like the shorts ever getting pulled down enough to where like my penis would have been exposed, even if I would have turned over. But it was just like, you know, showing the butt and then holding them down, making me probably feel embarrassed or whatever, and then laughing about it, and then, you know, going on our business. You know, we both laugh about it, and I'm sure I would, you know, being her brother, and we'd probably start wrestling or something.
How old were you at this time again? What age?
This was, the pool went in when we were like 12. So I wanted, you know, all this stuff is happening, you know, for a few years, you know, between the ages of, you know, 12 and probably 16. So 12.
Oh yeah, this is beyond doctor stuff. This is way older. Right? So, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
She was probably getting a little horny. Did you ever feel her like rubbing her pussy on your leg? Like, you know, is she ever rubbing herself on you? Like when she was sitting there?
That makes me wonder now, like when she was on top of me, giving me the back rub, if she was doing anything like that, or, you know, if the way she was straddling me in one position or another, if she was getting any pleasure from, you know, rubbing herself through her underwear.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So now I can't say for sure. My brain tells me that she might have been doing that, but I wouldn't know without asking her, and that ain't happening.
yeah, totally. Okay, so now let's get back to the front. Yeah, I think for sure she was like, you know, maybe experimenting the same way you were. She was also Christian, you said, right? So she had those same sort of boundaries, maybe.
We had both been, you know, indoctrinated pretty decently at that point. So yeah, she was probably just experimenting, but she knew her limits too. Like,
no, well, I think sometimes though it's a little bit different with guys and girls. I think sometimes women are like making sort of a play for a guy and they're real subtle, but they want the guy to be the one to pick up on the moves and be the aggressor, you know. So she might have been down, but if this was the scenario, right? Like, and it's like 50-50, we don't know, right? But like, if the scenario, and this is just for guys to know the way girls are, like, if she was like, if there was a chance that she was actually doing it to hook up or have something go further, she most likely needed you to be the one to make that decision. You know, so she was giving you, sometimes girls give guys like all these sort of hints, subtle, because they don't want to be the, you know, the guy in the relationship and make the first move, right? So they sort of give you, and the guys, and what happens like 90% of the time in that scenario is like guys don't fucking get it, okay? Because guys are quote unquote dumb when it comes to stuff like that, right? Like they don't know, right? So that happens a lot. So, you know, she might have been more down than you. But she, you know, you'll never know because you didn't make the first move. But let's get to the friend thing now. That's just a little side note.
All right. So the friend, again, was same age as us. And we all went to school together and we lived in the same neighborhood. So this was one of the neighborhood friends / school friends. This was my best friend that I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
We were best friends back when we were like infants, because I think our moms knew each other. And
is this a girlfriend or a guy friend?
Oh, it's a guy friend.
Okay, that's right. Okay, that's what I thought we were getting into. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, and so even when we were infants, I'm pretty sure we must have like stayed at each other's houses, probably because my mom was babysitting him while, you know, his mom went out to do something with the boyfriend or husband or whatever. So we knew each other from like in infants.
Yeah.
So we would, I want to back up a little bit also. Let's put a pin in that.
Yeah, I remember.
For just a second. Okay. So another friend.
Another guy friend.
Who I had that was also a best friend from childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Now this friend is where, if you're, are you ready for the bisexual?
Yeah, for sure.
Stuff to come
in? Okay. Yeah. You're doing a great job rolling this out.
All right. So we, our moms did the same thing. They must have babysat for each other. So we ended up, you know, staying with each other at each other's houses and things like that for sleepovers, even when we were toddlers. So this friend in particular is the origin of
this kind of hookup, this kind of stuff that's going on. He's like the beginning of the bisexual story.
Right. And I hesitated to say it because it makes me wonder if a lot of friends do this kind of stuff.
Yes.
But I'll just tell you what we did.
Yes, I've heard a million stories.
So when we would stay at each other's houses and have sleepovers, I don't hardly recall a time that we didn't like play with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, now we didn't even know what our penises were for other than peeing.
Right. So how old are you talking about? Do you remember?
I'm talking.
Just so all the moms know what's going down in their kids' room.
Oh, I know. This has got to be like between like 4 and 6.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Go on.
Like if not even earlier, because, you know, we knew each other since we were infants, but I can only think back to when I was probably in like kindergarten or a little bit before.
Yeah. You don't have memories when you're two, but like, I mean, right. they start at some point. So anyway, so this guy and you, before you even knew what your penises were for, like you said, you guys started to like touch each other.
Oh yeah. We would act like they were little joysticks, and we would like in the bed, and we would like make the sounds and everything. Like we were driving a car and like revving up the engines, and like my parents probably didn't know. They probably didn't even think twice. You know, they're in, you know, be quiet. They're in there acting like they're driving race cars, but we're using our little penises
Your joysticks.
As gear shifters.
Yeah,
you know, and so lots of touching and stuff, and. I don't recall if there was anything more than just, you know, that kind of playing with each other. Mm-hmm. I don't recall that we like, you know, sucked on each other's little wieners or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was definitely like, you know, total kid stuff playing with wieners.
Yeah. Listen, I see my son's 4 now, and like when his penis gets hard, he's like touching it, and he's so, you know, amazed by everything that it could do. You know, it's like this thing. And it's, I think at, you know, that young age, it is like exciting that it, you can make it go up and go down and it feels funny. Right. And like all that stuff.
Yep.
It's like you're curious. Right.
Yep. People. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I think it happens, you know, a lot with little kids. So,
right.
You know, that was going down with that friend, but now what's the second friend?
Well, to stay on this one for just a second,
our
friendship didn't, I want to say we were probably done being friends, and messing around with each other probably pretty early, you know, probably, I don't know, maybe I want to say 4th grade was when the last time I really spent any time with that friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was it. You know, we never contacted each other later or talked about anything. So jumping again to where we left the pen for the second friend, that was our neighborhood friend. He was friends with my stepsister and myself and everybody. So he would oftentimes spend the night, have a sleepover at my house when I was staying at my father's and my stepsister's house on the weekends, and a lot in the summertime, because I was at my dad's a lot in the summertime because he had the pool.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love swimming for one. And, you know, I had a free place to go to see feet all the time. So, so me and him, we were friends forever, and we would mostly just me and him, but sometimes it actually involved my stepsister and one or two other friends in this neighborhood. But we would play truth or dare.
Right.
Now, kids that play truth or dare, in my opinion, now I'm making a very, you know, big blanket statement here, but they're, what we did, we used the game to do sexual type things, and it's just a game.
Mm-hmm.
In our minds, everything we did, it was okay because we're just playing a game. None of this is reality or real because we're just messing around.
Yeah.
And once the game is over, everything, you know, like, you know, everything that happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And it's like, you just didn't talk about it anymore. It was, you only did this during the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so now truth or dare, in my opinion, turned into just dare because truth is boring.
Right.
And so it would turn into basically a game of, all right, it's my turn. So I dare you to do X. And then we would go around the room and everybody would do the dares. Now, one of the stipulations with the, if you dared someone to do something, you had to do it yourself. That was my rule. And the reason I came up with that rule was because I wasn't sure if people were going to dare other people to do things with feet.
Right. And that's what you wanted.
So yeah. I wanted that. So I would dare people to do things with feet so that I would get to.
Right.
So involving my friend and my stepsister, I would dare them to do things like, all right, I dare you to do 20 push-ups, but that person's feet or my feet or whatever have to be under your face.
Oh my God, hilarious. How obvious.
If I knew that my socks might have been stinky a little bit, then I would be like, well, I'm going to take my socks off or whatever, and I'll put my socks underneath your face, and you have to do 20 push-ups, and if you can't finish them, then you have to smell the socks for the remaining 10 seconds or
yeah,
crazy stuff like that, you know. And it wasn't just foot stuff. We would dare each other to do, you know, one that pops up in my head immediately is, so we would turn all the lights out in the house. Now, our parents are sleeping back in the bedroom, so we were crazy for doing all this stuff. But we're in the living room. We would turn all the lights out, but then we would, like, open the blinds to the front window, which would let in the light from a street light. So it was like it was dark, but you could
still
you
see could make stuff. Yeah.
You could still see a little bit of stuff. And then we would, like, you know, I dare you to do 25 jumping jacks naked.
So, this is typical kids. I think this is like very common.
And
kid
so,
stuff.
You know, and my stepsister, it was usually my stepsister, one of her friends, and then my guy friend. And then so we would do this stuff, or it'd be like, okay, run down naked and touch the stop sign at the end of the street and come back. And then you always had to worry about getting locked out of the house naked because that's just what we did with each other, you know.
Yeah.
You're running down the street naked and you get back and the door's locked and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm stuck outside. But so all of this stuff, you know, all kinds of naked play, and it was always me coming up with the foot stuff usually. I don't think that my, you know, friends were into the foot stuff, not like me anyway. But I definitely got my fair share of foot play on both my friend and my stepsister by playing this, you know, this game of dare,
right?
That we always did. So, you know, that added a lot of, you know, sexuality to the foot stuff, And we were doing it in public, not in public, but, you know, it wasn't just me and my stepsister, you know, in the bedroom with me sneaking little sniffs of her feet or something. It was, you know, I'm daring someone to suck my toes for, you know, 30 seconds each foot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then, which 30 seconds is a long time when you're sucking toes.
Yeah, for
especially
sure.
Especially if you don't want to be. So, you know, and they would always, you know, act like it was gross and, you know, oh, I don't want to do that, you know, but, and I would act like it too. I was like, oh, I don't either, but it's a good dare.
Yeah, know? Yeah, yeah, but, exactly. Because it's so gross.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So we would play these games, and eventually this game would follow my friend and I to the bedroom when it was time for everyone to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just me and him in the bedroom now, and then we would be like, well, I dare you to touch yourself, or I dare you to jerk off, or I dare you to jerk me off.
Right.
And so, you know, it started kind of like, you know, oh, well, getting dared to jerk myself off. Okay. But then it started getting into dares that required us to touch each other.
Right.
Do things with each other. And I do believe that I was probably the one. No, I definitely was the one pushing this. But my friend never balked at it or anything. He never was like,
he went along
no.
with that.
Yeah. He was like, no, I don't want to do that or anything. So, I definitely wasn't forcing him to do anything. We were same age, same size, best friends. But it did get into, and I'm talking, we're probably in the age of 14 to 16 right
mm-hmm,
now.
Mm-hmm.
And we would dare each other, you know, I dare you to suck my penis. And then, if you dare somebody to do something, you gotta do it too.
Yeah. That's the,
you know, so way. That was, that kept the game sane, because you couldn't just be like, you know, well, I dare you to run up to the neighbor's house naked and knock on their door and wait, because I'm not going to do that, you know?
Right.
You know, so it kept it at a level that never got too crazy if you were willing.
But it's
to
also,
do it
you
too,
were guys so. Were both using that game as a way to like hook up with each other.
Exactly.
Instead of like coming right out and saying, let's just fool around, right? Like this was your sort of way of not really being indirect about what you guys were both really doing.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. after it was all over, it was, I don't know if we just, you know, compartmentalized everything, but we just, it was never something like that we just talked about, like out in the open. Like even if it was just me and him building a fort out in the woods, we would never just be like, hey, remember last weekend when you sucked my cock? That felt pretty good. It never, you know, if it was outside of the game, it didn't exist.
Right.
So it was, you know, and I have no, me and this friend, once I left home when I was 18, and me and this friend, we kind of lost contact with each other. Facebook happened, and we did become, or we were able to, you know, get in contact with each other again, but he doesn't use Facebook hardly ever. And so it just, we haven't spoken with each other in years and years and years and years. So
right.
Even when I, you know, go back home to visit, I know that he's there, and, you know, unless I'm home for a significant amount of time, I usually don't even try to, you know, call him up and be like, hey, let's go do something. But so it just kind of fizzled out as a friendship. But between the stuff that happened when I was really young and the stuff that happened with him, I definitely would, you know, contribute those things to being bisexual now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
For sure. And so Do you have any questions before we jump into adulthood?
No, I'm ready to go to adulthood for sure.
Okay. So once I was, now I'll go ahead and say that at 18, the reason I left home was I joined the military. So I left for the military, did all that stuff. I did get married shortly thereafter, and my wife at the time, she knew that I liked feet and she loved it.
Yeah.
So she would get all kinds of foot attention from me, and one of the things that I don't think she knew about though was that I liked smelly feet.
All right.
Yeah, it was already, I felt like having a foot fetish was like this crazy taboo thing to start with.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, I don't want to tell my wife that, that I would really like,
that to smell bad too.
Right.
On top of
like,
it.
When you come home from work, don't just jump right in the shower before we have sex.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me just savor that a little bit. So that, I did kind of, looking back, I was like, well, that would have been nice if she would have known that, because she might have been in the mind frame of, totally, being down with that and playing around with a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
But, everything else, toe sucking, licking feet and foot jobs. We did all of that kind of stuff. And, but unfortunately, or fortunately, that marriage didn't last very long. We were too young when we got married. We left on good terms and everything, but mm-hmm. It was just one of those things. And
had you up to that point, like, because I know you dabbled with your guy friends, right, when you were super young, but in your adult life yet, like during your marriage or before, had you hooked up with any guys or not yet?
So after that marriage, that first marriage was over. That is when I want to say like the Yahoo chat rooms and stuff like that was still a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did meet up with a couple of guys and did some things with. It was totally like, the stuff I did with my friend, was in that game. So the first time I was doing something with an adult, it was very different.
Right.
For one, I'm not like attracted to men in the way that I'm sexually attracted to things that I could do with a guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look at guys, my wife. Now she knows I'm bisexual.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, but she, she'll, some guy that she thinks is hot, she'll be like, what do you think about that guy? And I was like, I have no idea.
Right.
I was like, I don't know. I mean, does he have a good body? I guess I could, I can appreciate a good body, but
it's not so much like the whole package for you, right?
No, it's totally.
I've heard that before many times, actually, by the way.
Yeah, and so when I was just starting off, I didn't know what, I'm sure I've listened to plenty of your shows to know that the terms top and bottom and all that stuff. And I had no idea what I wanted. Like, did I want to be a top? Did I want to be a bottom? Or which one am I? So during some of these, experiments, with guys, I kind of did a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in certain situations, I'm married and, I will admit that I have done some, messing around,
behind her
back.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, but, even going back then, between then and now, certain situations, I'm like, I could totally be a top.
Mm-hmm.
But in other situations, I would totally, be a bottom.
Right.
Now, when it comes, when it comes to feet, like if I was just trying to hook up with a guy to do foot stuff, so usually this is the way it went. I would try to hook up with the guy because I wanted to suck on some guy's feet. And one of the reasons that I really like guy's feet is their guys are usually able to get them a little stinkier than
women.
That's
what I was gonna
women's
say.
Women's
yeah.
feet always smell like roses, it seems like. And as much as I, you know, love women's feet, there's something about man's feet that, you know, the smell is different. Mm-hmm. You know, a man will keep a pair of sneakers for, you know, 5 years, where, you know, a woman might, you know, well, it's been 6 months, time for a new pair of sneakers, you know, so their sneakers never really get funky enough to make their feet funky.
Right.
Uh-huh. So, but men, you can usually, you know, get away with that, or have that. The only problem with men is that men usually don't take care of their feet. And so if I, you know, that was usually always a prereq for meeting up. I was like, I have to see a picture of your feet
ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. I'm not putting some nasty, you know, funky toes in my mouth or anything. But so when it comes to meeting up with guys and feet, I could go top or bottom because it's a big turn on to me as well to have a guy having to worship my feet. So I can totally get on board with, you know, me basically being the, I guess we can use the terms dom and sub.
Yeah.
In this case, and say, you know, I'm the one that's going to be putting my feet in their face or doing all that. But as the dom, you know, I can still do whatever I want with their feet. So I can still suck on their toes and do all this other stuff. I'm in control. So I can kind of do what I want to do with my feet or their feet.
Right.
So that's kind of when it comes to, you know, playing with guys in that sense, it's kind of nice to be the dom. But every now and then I'm like, it's kind of, it's fun too, to play the sub and just be the one having to, you know, service or worship the other person's feet. So all of my hookups with guys, I'm usually trying to do something that has to do with feet. But a lot of guys, as common as a foot fetish is, a lot of guys aren't in the feet. So sometimes my hookups would be, well, I would really like to do this foot stuff, and I'll suck you off also.
Right.
Because they're looking, they
want what they want. You're giving them
what
they
want. Yeah, blowjob or something.
Yeah.
You know, so I would, you know, do things like that. Or, you know, if I was really desperate for some man feet action or something, and the guy was like, yeah, we can do this, but I want to fuck you in the ass, then I've only done that a few times.
Right.
But I recall being like, okay, yeah, we'll do that. And so that would usually be where that kind of play would happen. Be like, he gets to fuck me in the ass and I get to fuck his feet or suck on his toes or,
right,
or, you know, stuff like that. And so that's kind of happened, here and there sporadically, between, when I got a divorce the first time and now, not very often, but it's definitely happened. So now I didn't mention I'm on my third marriage. So the second marriage, you didn't really miss any details, but that one lasted a lot longer. She entertained my foot stuff, but I don't think she was as into it as I would have liked to have been.
Mm-hmm.
But we, you know, again, it was just one of those situations. We're on good terms, but it just didn't work. I'm starting to think, you know, my wife now, great relationship, awesome sex. We're open about 99% of everything. Obviously there's, you know, some things that I'm still hiding, obviously, because I'm I've been with a couple of guys, you know, behind her back, but I'm starting to think that I'm not meant to be in a monogamous relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm totally fine and love my wife to death, but and we've even had these conversations. You know, I have to be careful with my words because I don't want her to be upset, and I don't plan on ever leaving her. But I don't know. I don't even know if humans are really meant to be monogamous, but I mean, those who choose to be, then great.
Right. For especially like when I say my marriage math, like, I mean, if you're going to be with the same person for, you know, 30 years, you know, how do you expect to stay only attracted to them and keep that sex interesting the whole time? I'm sure there's people that can and have, it seems I don't think, I know I couldn't do it, but, and I think a lot of people can't, and that's why there's a lot of cheating that goes down, you know? I know that as a woman, if my guy came to me and said he was bi, and like, you know, if you guys don't have an open relationship, I would always kind of secretly worry that, like, is he seeing guys behind my back? And like, you have, right? Like, I mean, like, have you ever brought up conversations with her about sort of opening it up, or like, is she concerned about like where, how you're sort of fulfilling that desire?
Well, it's funny because I think that if she thinks I'm going to cheat on her, she probably thinks that it would be with a woman.
No, but she knows that you're bi, right?
I know. And it's just like some certain, you know, topics, like we're watching a movie or something, and some guy's cheating on his wife with a woman or something, and we'll have some conversation about it. And I could be wrong, but I feel like she thinks if I was ever going to cheat on her, it would be with the woman. And I'm like, it probably would not be with a woman.
Right. Because you have cheated on her with a man.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I just wonder, I mean, unless she like is living in a slight denial of the fact that you're really bi and into guys, like, you'd have to sort of wonder, like, what do you do to get to sort of satisfy that desire? Now, how many guys have you been with since you've been with her?
Probably just a handful. And we've been together for about a decade.
Right. Okay.
Or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she's right there on the fence, because we have these conversations all the time, because we're very supporting of, like, you know, LGBTQ and all the different, you know, people on the spectrum that are into this or that.
Right.
We're like, you know, like, hey, if that's what you're into, as long as everyone has, you know, enthusiastic consent, and everyone's, you know, you're not doing anything with children who can't consent and things like that. I was like, man, go for it. You know, it might not be
totally
for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't really want, you know, someone to pee on me, but I have no problem with, you know, people that do that.
And,
like,
your wife feels,
man,
the same way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'll even have these topics, or we listen to these podcasts that will talk. I probably shouldn't tell her about yours, but
yeah, don't tell her about mine.
Right.
I'm going to be changing your voice though. But anyway, yeah, don't.
Okay. But we'll have these conversations about how, you know, say a hetero couple, and that, you know, either the woman or the man is bi, and how hard that must be, you know, for the one that's bi to not be able to kind of, you know, have that need fulfilled. And it seems like she totally understands. And then at the same time, she knows I'm bi. And, you know, as of yet, she's never been like, hey, you know, if you ever want to, you know, hook up with a guy, like,
yeah, that's weird that the conversation like ends there, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like we're just on the fence, and I don't know if she will ever fall on the side I want her to fall on.
You might have to bring it. You might have to just bring it up.
Yeah, I try to sneak certain things into conversation, you know, about, like, we're into pegging.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told her before, I was like, because she'll ask me sometimes, like, you know, tell me some of your fantasies. And usually I take that as an opportunity to tell her, I'll tell her something that me and her can do, but I'll also tell her, like, I would really like to have a real cock in my mouth.
Right.
And I would like to feel with, like, what does it feel like? Now, I know this, but, you know, I want to know, and she knows that I've done this before, just not since we've been together. And I'd be like, it's been so long since, you know, I've had that feeling of a guy coming in my mouth. And I'm like, well, that would be, you know, I was like, that's a fantasy. I would like, you know, to be able to suck a guy off or feel an actual penis
right
in my ass, not, you know, plastic or rubber, whatever they're made of.
Yeah.
Silicone dildo. And I'm like, I'm sure it would feel very similar. And I was like, but I'm curious, you know, would it feel different? Or what does it feel like? You know, can I feel the cum come out of the guy's penis into my ass? So I'll bring up things like that. And so she's got to know that I'm fiending for this stuff.
Right. You know, but she doesn't want to, like, neither one of you are, like, going to the obvious next place. And then, you know, no one's sort of bringing that up. You would probably have to be the one.
Right.
You've basically spoon-fed her all of the sort of information for her to assume that, you know, that's what you want. But maybe it's because, listen, that kind of conversation sort of leads into a really big conversation and a whole new way of life, right? Which is, you know, opening up your relationship and from being,
that's a totally
different way, like I said, way of life.
Yeah, I would love for that to happen. She has a lot of insecurities that she shouldn't, but she does. She has no reason to, but I think that.
What are her insecurities? What do you mean?
Well, I think that she doesn't look at herself in high enough esteem that I think she should. So she thinks, she wonders why, and she's asked me a few times, like, why I'm with her and stuff like that. Like, and I'm like, I'm no catch of the day, so I don't know why she's, you know, if she thinks that I'm like some supermodel or something and why I'm with her. And I'm like, what are you talking about? But it's just, you know, things like that. And I think that if she thinks that I would ever cheat on her, she would probably think that I would leave her. And to me, I don't see, like, people who cheat, and I hate that I do it, but to me it has absolutely nothing to do with how I feel about her.
Right. But I talk about that a lot in my show. Like, you can't say that every cheating is the same. You can't put every cheater into a room and say you're all wrong or doing it for the, you know, there's different degrees to it, you know, and there's like emotional cheating. And, you know, for you, like you said, and I've heard this before plenty of times, it's like, you love your wife. You would never leave her. This is strictly because it's something that she cannot give you, right? You're everything else you're getting from her that she could give you. It's not like you're going someplace else and getting emotionally attached and all that other kind of stuff with somebody else. And that's not why you have strayed, right? It's mostly because you have these physical desires to do something that doesn't take away from your relationship from her, that doesn't mean anything to you, right? It's just purely for pleasure in that moment, and that's it, right?
Exactly.
And you hear that a lot, and that's a lot of the reasons why people cheat. And then when you find out that relationships end because of that, it's sad, because I think, you know, if we went into relationships being a lot more honest about maybe the fact that these kinds of situations would come up every now and then and it was okay, you know, and you knew that emotionally you'd stay together, you know, maybe people should be more open like that. Do you know what I mean?
I wish there was more communication about that kind of stuff, because, like, when you look up the word, like, fetish, or, you know, like, foot fetish, like a real definition of it comes down to, like, there's sometimes where we're having sex and I haven't, you know, done hardly anything with their feet, and I know that I'm about to lose my erection if I don't do some foot stuff.
Yeah.
So when it comes to a fetish, that's something that I have to have in order to have healthy sex.
Yeah, or, yeah, yeah.
You know, for my penis to work,
mm-hmm.
I have to look in the mirror and, you know, see our feet and what they're doing, or, you know, or if we're in a position where I can do things with their feet. But what a lot of people don't understand when it comes to cheaters, you know, or why they're cheating, some of them, not all of them.
There's
obviously
for sure
some horrible, you mm-hmm. know, situations out there. But like, I don't know if I would call it a fetish, but why can't I just say, well, I'm married to this woman who I love and we have all kinds of crazy, amazing sex, but I still need this cock, you know,
every now and then, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's almost like the fetish. It's like, if I don't do this every now and then I just feel like I'm going to explode, and I can't. It's to me, it's unhealthy.
Yeah, you can't deny it. It's like it's a part of who you are, right? And the sad thing is that it's a very small part of who you are, right? It's not like you know, you're overall like 95% all in with her, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is just something, a little bit of you that doesn't change who you are or take away from that relationship. But I think it's very hard for a partner to understand that, which I understand. But I feel like when you're talking about being married, how long are you guys together again?
A little over a decade.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you're talking double digit years, you know, you could start maybe having those conversations, and, you know, maybe that would happen for you. Maybe she would be okay with it. You'd probably have to do it very, very slowly because it would be a new thing. How old are you guys?
We're in our 40s.
Yeah, you know, listen, I think if you were in your 20s, you would have already had that conversation, right? I always say the younger generation, they're more realistic and more dealing with reality. In our generation, nobody was dealing with reality. Do you know what I mean? Everything
exactly
was sort of like, you know, taboo and hidden and secret. That's why I have a fucking show, you know, in 20 years, this show won't exist. But,
right?
Yeah, you know, I feel like you could, I feel like you guys are so close to that conversation, and it should happen. It doesn't have to be like, this is what I want and it has to happen. And you could just, you know, sort of feel around.
I do agree with you. I do think that we are a lot closer to that. And with all the conversations that we've had, that
you're right there.
The fantasies and stuff, where it's just like,
you're at the finish line. No one is like no one is stepping over it. It's like, you're done with all the, like, you're, the next step is talking about you guys being, you know, more open, like all these other couples that you guys listen to and talk about, you know. And maybe if you brought her like an episode about like exactly your guy's situation, you know, on another show, right? And maybe that opens up the conversation. But, you know, I feel like you could have the conversation and be safe knowing that it's not going to end things between you guys. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're not like a lot of other of my guests where, you know, your girl doesn't even know that you're bi. I mean, she already knows, she accepts it. Like, you guys are pegging each other. You're talking about what would a real dick would be. You know, it's the next thing is to say, like, would you be okay with me actually experiencing it? And, you know, and it, like, you could be there, like, I would want you to be, you know, you could figure out how that would work for you guys. But I feel like you could say that. And if she says no fucking way, that's fine.
Right.
She's not going to leave you if you say that. I mean, there's not much difference between that and what you guys have already talked about.
Right.
You know,
well, I think one of the hard parts too is that, and we could probably work up to this, but she's going to be worried about diseases, you know,
for sure. But why don't you tell her why? I mean, I really think in order to make because I had a girl on recently, I just aired her episode actually. She wanted to play on the side of her relationship, but she wanted to play alone. And I was like, I don't think that that's good to start out that way. You know what I mean? Because you could maybe develop feelings. And I think that makes another person a little bit more insecure, because how do you know what's going on? You know, but if you play together and she sees that you're with the guy, but you're using condoms and you guys are really protecting yourself because she's there at the same time, right?
Yeah.
Then that takes it out of the equation, you know, and,
right.
And maybe that would make her feel more secure at first, you know? And so yeah. you could give her all those options. Like, you know, listen, if you got to take her into consideration too. It's not just about you, right? Like, so,
oh, yeah.
So it's about you getting off, but you know, you have to figure out how that could work for her, you know, and what rules and regulations she would want to sort of need to happen to make her feel comfortable too, whether that's her being there or her not being there. Like, we don't know, you know, but you'd have to talk to her about that, you know, but it'd have to be okay with the both of you, however it was going to work out. And you don't know what that would look like for her because you guys haven't had that conversation yet.
Absolutely.
You know, so we could guess what she would say and how she would feel, but like, you just have to go there. And I feel like you're there. You're right
yeah.
there. Just saying, it doesn't. You guys are together. Like, you don't. There's that foundation is strong enough that, you know, everyone listening is feeling the same way too. You know, and there's
right.
a lot of people that wish that they were as close to that conversation as you are. You've done, to me, a lot. You've had a lot worse conversations with her that could have gone south. You know,
mm-hmm.
that didn't. So I don't feel like this will be any kind of deal breaker or any kind of bad conversation. I don't know why you haven't brought it up. We're going to end on this, but that's my last question for you. Like, why haven't you brought it up?
I feel like even if I bring it up and she says no, and then I'm like, okay, then her insecurities are going to go off the charts. Or in addition to, she's going to think that, okay, after all these years that he's told me these things, and now he brought this up, he's going to go do it. So she's probably going to think that whether the conversation ended in a yes or no, I'm about to go find some cock.
Right, but you don't, I think if it's really, I think if you really bring it up in a way that doesn't seem like you're jonesing for it, if you make it a sort of matter of fact or have it just come out of the blue, you know,
yeah.
I think that will make a difference with how she thinks about it afterwards. You know what I mean? Like, if it's a sit
right.
down, I need you to sit down. This is what, you know, I would be a lot more concerned, like, oh God, this is something that is really serious for him and something he really wants, you know? And, so, and then maybe I start to think those things that you think she's going to think. But if you bring it up and when you're kind of fooling around and she's pegging you and, you know, when there's like, you guys are hot and bothered, and it just might seem like a thing that you just thought about and you just threw out there and it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
That's how it has to be. It shouldn't be a whole sit down, you know, serious conversation. It'll get more serious if she says, okay, let's talk about this, but maybe bring it.
Right,
I know you've tiptoed around it already, you know. You got to start tiptoeing around it. Like, you got to be a little bit more direct, but still sort of flippant. And that will help, I think. But you got to put
yeah.
it out there. You got to do it. You got the balls to do all this other stuff. I do like, listen, you have a month. I do updates at the end of the year every year with people, you know. If you do it in the next 3 weeks, you'll be on my update show. If you don't, if you wait, if you do it next year, we'll have you on next year and you can tell me your update. But I'd be curious if you do it anytime soon, what happens? You could give me the update, but definitely keep me posted on
for
what's
sure.
going on. Thank you for being a very easy call. I mean, like, these kind of podcasts are really easy for me because I just sit back and listen. You told a really good story. You were good at telling it. I've heard the smelly foot thing before, because there's a reality show called Vanderpump Rules that I watch, and like one of the guys on there, his girlfriend's like, oh, he likes for my feet to smell. And he was like they totally talked about it, you know, so it's like,
well,
a thing.
Can I, now you can either, you can cut this out if you want, but I was going to add one more thing that I, that's pretty big that I forgot.
Yeah.
Well, I spent a couple of years as a massage therapist. So if you can imagine the foot. I
mean, oh my God.
Every session I had.
Hard
on. Well, I would fight it as best I could, because I tried to be professional. I don't feel that I ever, you know, touched or acted inappropriately with any client ever. You know, but, you know, every now and then you would get, you know, that really sexy pair of feet come in and be like, oh, man.
Yeah, but, I'm sorry, but I can't believe you didn't bring this up in the midst of that, because that would be like a foot fetish, like, person's dream job, right? I mean, like,
I know.
Just to get and, free thrills.
Oh, what I wanted to add to that was that a lot of people, you know, if I just came up to someone and said that I had a foot fetish, they would immediately, you know, if they were wearing sandals or barefoot or something, they would be like, oh, is this guy staring at my feet? And I'm like, you know, if you're barefoot, I already noticed them. But, you know, let's say your favorite body part is, you know, the butt or something, and you see somebody at the gym that has a, you know, nice butt and, you know, a pair of pants or whatever, shorts. It's not like I can't control it. And being a massage therapist was a prime example of that. And it's not like I ever did anything inappropriate with anyone. But, you know, just because somebody likes feet doesn't mean that they're, you
know, they're like lecherous pervert that's going to use your feet to get them off.
Like,
right.
It's like the homophobes that, you
think
know,
that every guy wants to fuck
there's
them.
A gay guy in the shower and he wants to have sex with all the guys in the shower. I was like, no.
Yeah.
I was like, they have, you know, that person has, you know, a taste in what they are looking for or at, and so do I.
Right.
You know,
no, that makes sense. That totally makes sense. But I think, I don't know, it depends on when I edit this down. We're at an hour and 22 minutes. Like, I have to end it because it could never be longer than 120. But I don't know if I keep it in or not. But, you know, if I keep it in, you'll hear it. But I'll let you know. But anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, thanks for calling in and sharing all this interesting stuff, because I didn't know a lot of this stuff about the foot fetish because I haven't had many on. I'm sure it's going to be a highly downloaded one, because I bet you it's very common, like pantyhose. And keep me posted of what goes down with your wife if you ever bring it up for real.
I sure will. Hey, I appreciate the time and great show. I'm glad I came across it not too long ago, and I'm binge watching or binge listening now.
Awesome. Just don't tell your wife about it, okay? And I'll change
your
voice. Don't worry.
I actually did mention it, but I don't know if she would like. that maybe I should bring it up before the show comes out.
Well, you let me know. I don't know when I'm going to air it because I have so many taped, but so what, you know, you let me know.
Okay. No, it's fine, but
all right, cool.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Nate. Thanks so much for calling in. Keep me updated.
All right.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone? Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story and your anonymous name. And remember, everything is Strictly Anonymous. Strictly.